Okay, good morning. And we're meriting this morning to learn about the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, an animal that's slaughtered, a wild animal or a bird that's slaughtered. There's a mitzvah to cover the blood. I saw yesterday that there's a very nice website called Portal Daf Hayomi. So somebody put together a sheet of different explanations that Rishonim give for the mitzvah of covering the blood. One classical explanation that's offered by the Kli Yakar is that the Torah tells us many times we're not allowed to ingest blood, we're not allowed to eat blood. So because the Torah doesn't want us to eat blood, Hashem commanded that when the blood is spilled, it has to be covered to remind us not to eat it. Why then don't we have that law with a domesticated animal, a behema, only with a wild animal? Well, maybe because since the domesticated animals can be karbanos and their blood has to go on the mizbeach, so there you already know you can't eat it because it has to go onto the mizbeach. But on the wild animals where someone might think that they could eat the blood, there was a mitzvah to command us to cover it, to remind us not to eat. That's one explanation given. Another, what's that?
Birds.
It doesn't work so well with that answer, right? Another explanation that's given for why Hashem said that we should cover the blood was offered by the Sforno. The Sforno says that normally the wild animals are out in the wild. So in the wild, it's a place where there are shadim, there are demons. So if the blood would be spilled and the blood would then be left out, maybe the demons would garner some life from it. So it's part of our general campaign against Avodah Zarah, against these forces. So there's a mitzvah to cover the blood. Another idea the Ibn Ezra says is that we know that our blood, the blood of animals, of behemos, we throw on the mizbeach sometimes as a karban. But if people would just see blood outside somewhere out there, they might think that that's the blood of an offering for Avodah Zarah. And that might think that the blood of Chayos could be thrown for Avodah Zarah. So that's why Hashem commanded that the blood of Chayos be covered. And a third explanation is given by the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch says that since the blood contains the life, Ki Adamu HaNefesh, the soul is in the blood, it would develop a certain cruelty in a person if he eats meat and there's blood out. It's like eating the meat of the life that you just spilled. So therefore Hashem commanded that the blood be covered, and then you can go ahead and eat, and it's part of developing a more compassionate personality. Okay, these are all explanations given for the mitzvah of covering the blood. In that light, the Aruch Haim says, and since the Gemara said that you're supposed to cover the, Reb Zera said you're supposed to cover the blood with dirt below and dirt above, so it's sort of like a burial. Since the blood had the life, therefore, it should be buried, again, below and above, to treat it with respect. And again, the reason why in behema not, similar to what we said before, because since so many behemos can be karbanos, so therefore, even if it's not a karban, we don't want to make things too confusing. Hashem said, all cases, you don't have to cover the blood of behemos. The blood of behemos is being treated with respect. It goes on to the mizbeach. Sometimes, but the blood of a chaya has to be treated with respect by burying it, sort of like the respect a person gives to a dead body.
So, Rabbi, based on all these things, you know, like liver has
right.
to be asur.
Because there's too much blood. We're going to get to that later. Yeah, we're going to get to that later.
The steak tartare has to be asur.
What is that?
Because it has blood in it. It's well, vegan, no matter.
No, but that was after it was salted. After it was salted, it's okay.
Okay, it won't take 100% of the blood out.
So maybe what's left is not halachically defined as dam. Maybe it's defined as mohal. Something different now. Because there was a full hour of the salt pulling out blood.
This is a loophole, Rabbi.
Okay, so let's go back to Pei Daled Amud Beis. And, you know, the Gemara had a whole bunch of stories of, not stories, but sort of a gadita about, you know, eat light stuff, don't be wasteful with your money, don't have expensive tastes. So let's start at that point. Darash Rav Ina, Pischa de Beirish Galusa, sort of about halfway up on Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Rav Ina, sitting at the doorway of the Reish Galusa, he taught the following. Let's say you have a sick person who needs meat. So on Shabbos, you're allowed to violate Shabbos for his sake. So you slaughter an animal to prepare for him meat. Then you can also do the Kisui Adam on Shabbos. Wow. Amalu Rava. So Rava said to them, right, because Rava said to Rav Ina, this is crazy. Ashtuma ka'amar lishmetua la'amoramine. This is something which should be silenced. You know, normally when somebody teaches Torah, they have a translator, an amora, there to broadcast whatever they say to the crowd of people who came to listen. Take away the amora. Rashi says, take away his tongue. This is crazy. You can't say to people that they can do Kisui Adam on Shabbos. How do we know not? The Tani, we learned in Ebraisa. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Koi, this is a Safik Chaya, Safik Behema, something which you're not sure if it's a Behema, which then wouldn't need Kisui Adam. Or maybe it's a Chaya, which wouldn't need Kisui Adam. So we learned in Ebraisa, and Shochtun also be Yom Tov. You can't Shecht it on Yom Tov. V'im Shechto, and if you did Shecht it on Yom Tov, and Mechazin is Damo, you can't cover the blood. And the source for this is mi kal v'chomer, based on a kal v'chomer. Uma mila, consider bris mila shavadah docha Shabbos. If you're sure that you need a bris mila on Shabbos because the eighth day is Shabbos, you violate Shabbos to do the bris mila. But ain't sveika docha yom tov. If it's a safek whether or not you need the mila on this day, you couldn't do it on yom tov. So kisu, when we talk about covering the blood, shein vaday docha Shabbos, even when you're sure that it's a mitzvah, you can't do it on Shabbos. Ein odin, so certainly shein sveika, when it's only a safek, you wouldn't be docha yom tov. You wouldn't overrule yom tov for the safek. Amulos, they said back to him, no. Tkiyah shofar begvun tochiyah. Blowing shofar should be the proof. Shein vaday docha Shabbos, even when you're sure of the mitzvah, you wouldn't do it on Shabbos. But it's sveika, but in the case of safek, it's docha yom tov. So Shibulazak Far Baribi, Tshuva, Shibulazak Far the Great, gave an answer. Mala Mila, he said, no, but Mila is different. Shkinin Heges, Belela Yom Tov, it doesn't apply at night. Torah B'Kisui, whereas Kisui Adam, Shinoik Belela Yom Tov, does apply at night, so therefore maybe it should apply even to a situation of Safek.
Again, yes, we have the Mohel here, sucking the blood after the Brit Mila.
Okay. Yeah.
So isn't that the blood that is...
No, we're not talking about Kisui Adam in terms of Mila. We're just talking about violating Shabbos and Yom Tov for Mila.
I understand that, but we were talking about the blood.
Oh, he spits it right out. He can't swallow it.
You know.
He spits it right out. That's just for health reasons.
For health reasons,
huh? Rebaba said, Zechem and Advarim, Shamer Rebbi Chiya. This is one of the cases where Rebbi Chiya said, Emli Aleim Tshuva. I didn't have an answer for this Kal V'chomer. Reish Rebbe Elazar Kfar B'Rebbe Tshuva. And Rebbe Elazar Kfar the Great gave the answer. All right, so this is the Braisa. So before we go through the entire Braisa, there's a problem here with Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Yossi says that if you shecht the koi on Shabbos, you then cover the blood. One second, if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, not the koi, you shecht an animal on Shabbos, you cover the blood. Katani Mias, but it said here in the Braisa, Kisui, when you talk about covering the blood, Shein Vadei Docha Shabbos, even when you certainly have to do Kisui Adam, you can't do it on Shabbos. So my vada de kisui de lo dachi Shabbos, which is the certainty of kisui adam, where there was certainly a mitzvah, and yet you can't do it on Shabbos. Lava shochet l'chol b'Shabbos, isn't it somebody who slaughters for a sick person on Shabbos? He's certainly allowed to do it, and the Braisa says you're not allowed to cover the blood. So where is it? No. Dilma d'aver v'shachat. No, maybe it's somebody who wasn't allowed to do the slaughtering, he just violated Shabbos, and he slaughtered, and therefore the Braisa says he's not allowed to cover. So I said, no, you can't say that. But tumya demila, but it's comparing it all to brismila. Ma mila brishus, brismila is something you're allowed to do. Af kisui nami brishus. So the case of kisui was also something that you were allowed to do. You were allowed to shecht it. Okay, so bottom line is, now we understand why Rava was so upset with Ravina. He said, you're saying that if there's a shkita, you can then do Kisui Adam on Shabbos. The Braisa says explicitly that when you're allowed to do Shechita, you can't do Kisui Adam on Shabbos. So that's what Rava says. It's wrong. If there's a Shechita, you can't do Kisui Adam on Shabbos. And, you know, silence up the people who are saying it. Take away the tongues. Take away the amora of those who are saying that if after there was a shechita permitted on Shabbos, you can then do kisui adam on Shabbos. Okay, let's go back to this brice. Amrulo, they say back to him, tkiyah shofar begvulin tochiyah. Blowing shofar should be the proof. Shein vado docha Shabbos, even though when it's a certainty you can't do it on Shabbos. And yet it's fake adocha yom tov. When it's only a suffix, we are overruling yom tov for it. My sfeika, what's the suffix that overrules yom tov? Ilema suffix, whole suffix yom tov. If you're going to say, let's say yom tov sheni, when it's a suffix, whether it's a week there, it's a suffix if it's a yom tov. Let's say yom tov sheni of Rosh Hashanah. So, hash devada yom tov dachya. So, here, when it's the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so we certainly blow shofar. So when it's a certainty of yom tov, we overrule it. So safik yom tov, someday chol nibayet. So if it's a safik yom tov, also certainly you should do it. Ellis, what's this case of safik that overrules yom tov? Safik isha. A person who is a tumtum or an androgynous. Safik isha. We would blow shofar for them on yom tov. So that was the question to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, you say from Mila that in Mila, Safik Mila doesn't overrule Yom Tov. So therefore, Kisi Adam, when it's a Safik, when it's a Kui, it certainly shouldn't overrule Yom Tov. So you say back, no. Tkiya Shofar doesn't overrule Shabbos. And nevertheless, Safik Tkiya Shofar, Safik Isha, does overrule Yom Tov. Now, Rabbi Yossi, why isn't he bothered by this question? Latame. So he's being consistent. Amar, because he says, Isha Vadayis Namitaka. Even a woman who's a total woman is allowed to blow on Yom Tov. So you don't have to, it's not that you're overruling Yom Tov when he's a Safik Ish, Safik Isha, on the chance that maybe he's an Ish, and that's why you're overruling Yom Tov. No. Even if he's an Isha, he would overrule Yom Tov, because a woman's allowed to blow shofar on Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya's lived in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'samchu b'nei Yisrael. And the sons of Israel are to lean their hands on the karbanos, to as part of the service of the karbanos. So if we learn from that, Bnei Yisrael somchin, the sons of Israel do smicha, v'lo bnos Yisrael somchos, the girls, the daughters of Israel should not do smicha, especially because you're dealing with possibly leaning on a karban, possibly violating me'ilah, mishtamish b'kachim, using karbanos. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon say, no, nashim somchos rishos. If women want to, they're allowed to do it. So if he says that women can do smicha if they want to, they can also blow shofar if they want to. And therefore, if you have a safik ish, safik isha, it's not that based on the safik, on the chance that he's an ish, that you're overruling Yom Tov. No, it's a situation where you're allowed to blow shofar, because if it's an ish, certainly you can blow shofar. And if she's an ish, also you can certainly blow shofar, because a woman's allowed to be so mixed, she's also allowed to blow shofar if she wants to. Yes.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
She can make a bracha.
That's right.
Yeah.
At least according to us Ashkenazim. Here, Rav Avadi Yosef wants to follow the Rambam, who says women don't make a bracha on mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So he wrote a whole siddur where he took out the name of Hashem, Hashem Elokim. It's Baruch, and then the rest. As he said, the women should follow the Rambam and not make a bracha.
I mean, she blows the shofar coming down amongst the men, or in her section doing it?
In her own house. In her own house.
Oh, in her own house.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, as a you know, just have fun or something.
To have fun with the mitzvah.
The mitzvah.
To have fun doing the mitzvah.
There's a morning show, not just a night show.
I'm a Ravina. So Ravina said, now even what the Rabbanan are saying, that they say, if a Safik Ish, Safik Isha can blow shofar, so then when you have a Safik Kisi Adam, you should also be able to do Kisi Adam. Isle Pircha, there is a challenge against it. Now, Kiyah Shofar, Shekin Vada, Docha Shabbos, Bamikdash. Kiyah Shofar is strong, because when you're certainly obligated in Shofar, you would overrule Shabbos in the base of Mikdash to blow Shofar.
Tom b'kisui, but whereas kisui adam, to lesser cloud, there's no such thing as kisui adam ever being obligated on Shabbos, or ever overruling Shabbos for kisui adam, or ever overruling Yom Tov for kisui adam. Okay. Going back to the Braisa, Hishav Reb Elazar Akapar b'Rebbe, Reb Elazar the Akapar the Great responded to Reb Yossi, Malamila, no, Mila is different. Shkenin and Oegas, Bilele Yom Tov. Mila doesn't apply to the nights of Yom Tov, whereas Kisi Adam applies at night, so maybe Kisi Adam would be stronger than Mila. Bilele Yom Tov would alone Nahagi. I understand, only at the night of Yom Tov you don't have Mila, Bishar Leila Nahagi, the other nights you have Mila. But we know Biyom. But Yom Hashmini, you have to do Bila during the day. Ella, so what he meant is to say like this, Mala Mila, Shekena no Hegas, Belelis can be Yom. But Mila doesn't apply at nights, like during the days. Tomer B'Kisui, whereas Kisui, Shinoik Belelis can be Yom, applies at nights as well as it applies during the days. So therefore, maybe Kisui Adam is stronger than Mila. Maybe Kisui Adam, even Safik, should overrule Yom Tov. Amar Rav Abba. And then we had the Brisa ending off by saying, Rav Abba said, Reb Chiya said, I don't have an answer. And yet, Reb Elazar Kfar, the great one, was the one who gave the answer to say that no, you can't necessarily learn from Mila to Kisui Hadam. Okay, next, Mishnah about Kisui Hadam. Yes, please.
The whole concept, the use of the
Zerah, Malach, Chachmahi,
Veina Malacha.
But here also we're talking about the Drabbanan. Kisi Adam, we're talking about moving Muktza. Because the dirt is Muktza, we're saying, don't violate a Muktza, Drabbanan of Yom Tov, for what might only be a Suffolk. Maybe it's a Chaya, because maybe it's a Behema.
And Mila would be the
Arayah. Yes.
That's why because they're confusing the Oraita with the Rabbanan. Maybe it's Kavachom. If for the Rabbanan, Safek is no good, I'll Kavachom for the Oraita.
Right, but in Mila, it's the Oraita, that's
yeah,
right.
That's
it's true. Okay, now we're up to the next Mishnah. We're going back to the topic of Shechita She'ena Ru'uya. As we learned in regards to Osa V'Esbeno, there's a whole discussion whenever the Torah says that there's a certain law about shechita. Let's say, Osoves Benolos Shechatu B'Yom Echad. The mother and the child cannot be slaughtered on the same day. What is shechita? If there's an act of shechita, but the food that was slaughtered doesn't become permitted to be eaten, is that called shechita? We learned it about slaughtering a holy item. We learned it about all sorts of other scenarios where there's a slaughter, but the slaughter doesn't permit. Slaughtering a treifa. Slaughtering an animal that killed, slaughtering Sharaniska. If there's slaughter, but the slaughter doesn't permit something, is that called Shechita? So now another ramification is going to be Kisui Adam. Because as Roger pointed out the other day, if you're driving your car and a deer runs out into the highway and Nebuch, your car hits the deer and the deer dies, you don't have to get out of the car and cover the blood because that's not Shechita. So, if we say shechita she'ena ru'uya is not shechita, that a shechita that doesn't permit something to be eaten is not a shechita, then if you would slaughter a shoran niskal, or slaughter a treifa, or slaughter, let's say, kachei berek habayis, then there'd be no law of covering the blood, because it wasn't called a shechita, it was called a killing. Okay, next, see the Mishnah. Ha'shochet v'nimtzeis treifa. Somebody slaughters, and it turns out that the animal that he slaughtered was a treifa. So it's not edible. The slaughtering didn't permit it to be eaten. Somebody slaughters as an offering to Avodah Zarah. Again, it's not going to permit it to be eaten. Somebody slaughters a non-holy item in the Beis HaMikdash. So you're not allowed to do that. It's not a good shechita. Or he takes a holy item, kachim, he takes a carbon, and he slaughters it bachot. Or if he slaughters a chaya, a wild animal, or an oaf, or a bird on his skull, and that have killed people, and because they killed people, they're supposed to be stoned. Or that they were wild animals or birds that were used by men for bestiality. So again, they're supposed to be stoned. So then the shechita of those things is not permitting it to be eaten. So in all these cases, Rabbi Meir says, Mechayev. Rabbi Meir says, they still do need kisui adam. Since there was an act of shechita, it's called shechita. Chachamim, the majority view, is like what we said in Rabbi Shimon before, potum they exempt. Because they say, shechita she'ena ru'uya is not a shechita. All right, next case. Hashochet, a guy who's slaughtering, And in his hand, he turns it into a nevela. He messed up the shechita, as Roger pointed out earlier as we began. During the shechita, he just started messing it all up. He pushed his knife, things like that. Hanocher, he put the knife in through the nostrils and then he slit all the way down. Or a ma'aker, he hooked the pipes out. So in all these cases, it's certainly not a shechita. Everybody agrees it's not a shechita. And pater melachasos, there's no obligation to cover the blood that spilled.
And in the first case, is it nevela or not? In the first cases.
Nimtzeis trefa is not a nevela.
It's not
a nevela. It doesn't have tumas nevela. So Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yudah Anasi, he's the one who put together all the Mishnayos. Rabbi, Dvarav Shor Meir Bosav Espin. No, Rabbi agreed with Rabbi Meir about Osav Espino, namely that a Shechita Shein Ru'uya is a Shechita. And in regards to Osav Espino, there would be an obligation. Therefore, B'shano B'lasho Chacham, he said, the Chacham are the ones who say that Shechita Shein Ru'uya is a Shechita in regards to Osav Espino. With Rabbi Shimon, he agrees with Rabbi Shimon that Shechita Shein Ru'uya is not a Shechita, B'kisei Adam, in regards to covering the blood, which is a product of a shechita shein ruya, of a shechita that wasn't permitting it to be eaten, and therefore b'shana b'lashon chacham. That's why he says that the chacham are the ones who say that if there's a shechita shein ruya, right? These cases, slaughtering and finding that it's a treifa, slaughtering for avodah zara, slaughtering chulin in the Beis Hamikdash, slaughtering karbanos outside the Beis Hamikdash, there is no obligation of covering the blood because that's an act of slaughter that didn't permit it to be eaten, and an act of slaughter that doesn't permit it to be eaten is not called shechita; it's called hariga. So now the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Meir b'Osav Espino. What's the reasoning that Rabbi Meir says in regards to Osav Espino that even though it was a shechita she'ena ru'uya, it's still called shechita and you can't slaughter the child? I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. So Rabbi Shimon Levi said he has a gzeira shava. Gamar shechita shechita mishchut echutz. It says over here, v'shoro chesev, v'shoro seh, Osav Espino l'sishchatu b'yom echad. And it says, in regards to Shchutei Chutz, Ish Ish mi Beis Yisrael, Asher Yishchat Shor Chesev O Eiz B'Machaneh, or Asher Yishchat Michutz L'Machaneh. So Ma'asam, just like in regards to Shchutei Chutz, use the term Shchita, right? Shchutei Chutz is slaughtering a carbon in the wrong spot. So there, it's called Shchita, even though it's in the wrong spot, and that's the Shchita Sheina Ruya. Certainly not going to make it permitted to be eaten. So even though you see that a Shchita that's not going to permit something to be eaten is called Shchita. Shma Shechita. Sa'afach ha'sotu enosav esbenosat to the Gzera Shava. There's the same word. Shachat Shachat. Hachanami here too. Shechita Shena Ru'uya. Shma Shechita. That is slaughtering that doesn't permit something to be eaten is still called slaughtering. Why does Rabbi Shimon disagree? Rabbi Shimon, my timing. What's Rabbi Shimon's logic? Amar Rav Mani Bar Patish. Rav Mani Bar Patish said he learns it from the psukim about when Yosef feeds his brothers down in Parshas Miketz. Yosef tells his attendants, Utvoach tevach v'achin, and slaughter is slaughtering and prepare it. So gamar mitvoach tevach v'achin. Ma'al halam, so just like over there, tvoach tevach was a shechita ru'uya, right? Because it said v'yochlu, they're going to eat. It was a good shechita. Afkan, so too in regards to osav espino, and in regards to everything else, it's only a shechita. If it's a shechita ru'uya, it's a shechita that people can eat from it. Rabbi Meir, now Rabbi Meir, nami ligmar mitvoach tevach v'achin. Why doesn't he learn from that pasuk? So he'll tell you, no, done in shechita mishchita, but done in shechita mitvicha. I'd rather derive a gzeira shava, shachat shachat, of the definition of shechita, from what the definition of shechita is elsewhere, rather than defining what the definition of shechita is from the word tvicha. So I said, why? There's no difference, ma nafkamina. There's no difference between the word tvicha and the word shechita. Tvicha is the slaughter, and shechita is the slaughter. And we know you can have gzeira shavas with words that have the same intent, even if they are actually spelled differently. As Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, the famous price of Rabbi Shmuel, the Shava coin, one time it says the coin will return, then it says Uva coin, the coin will come in. Again, it's not exactly the same words. It's not Vishav, it's Uva, but it's the same meaning. And then we say Zui Shiva, Zui Via, this is the same thing. You can learn coming and returning from coming. It's the same thing. So the Gemara says, no. Hani Mili, when do you say that Vishav and Uva are the same thing? When you don't have Vishav and Vishav, you just have Vishav and Uva. So you say they're the same thing, you compare one to the next. But when you have Vishachat and Vishachat, and you have another option of Vitzavach, then you say Vishachat is going to Vishachat, and not Vishachat is going to Vitzavach. We derive it from that, which is more similar to it. Okay. So now Reb Shimon. Nami Ligma Mishkutei Chutz. Why doesn't he learn from Shkutei Chutz? Learn from the Shachat of Shkutei Chutz, that a Shkita She'ena Ru'uya is a Shkita. So he'll tell you no. Tanin Chulin Mechulin. I'd rather derive a law of that which is not holy, namely Yosef Espino. I don't want to learn a law that's not holy, Yosef Espino, from Shkutei Chutz, from Karbanos. What will Rabbi Meir say back to that? Rabbi Meir will tell you, no, Atu Osav Espino, but Kachim Ilo Nehigi. This Osav Espino, does that not apply to Kachim? It applies to Karbanos too. So therefore, Hayin Tzakam Rabchia, this is what Rabchia is saying. Rabbi Dvarv Shur Rabbi Meir, Osav Espino. Rabbi felt that Rabbi Meir's logic and Osav Espino is right. Osav Espino, it says Veshachat, and it says Veshachat in regards to Shkutei Chutz. So therefore, just like there, it's a Shkita Shein Ruya, it's called Shkita. And also, Vespino, Shkita Shein Ruya is called Shkita, Ushno Belashon Chacham. And that's why Rabbi, in regards to also Vespino, says that this is the majority view. Okay, now let's go to Kisi Adam. My time is Rabbi Meir, but Kisi Adam. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Meir in regards to Kisi Adam? That he says in regards to Kisi Adam also, Shkita Shein Ruya is considered Shkita. And in Shkita Shein Ruya, you need to cover the blood. Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Rabbi Shimon Malakish answered, Gamar Shvicha, Shvicha Mishchutei Chos. Now he derives a different Gzei Rashava. The word Veshafach, pouring, from the word Veshafach, pouring in regards to Shchutei Chutz. It says here, V'ish, Ish, Mibnei Yisrael, Min Agar, Agar, Besolcham, Asher Yatsut, Seid Chayo, Of, Asher Yochel, Veshafach Es Damo, V'chiso Be'afar. And it says about Shkutei Chutz, V'al Pesach O'moed Lo V'yo La'akriv Korban La'Hashem Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, Dam Yechashev Lishahu Dam Shafach, V'nichas Yishahu Mikarev Amo. So Ma'al Ha'alan, so just like in Shkutei Chutz, it's a Shkita Shein Ru'uya, it's not a Shkita that's going to make it permitted to be eaten, and yet Shema Shkita, it has the status of Shkita for the violation of Shechnil Korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Afkan, so to hear where it says V'shafach too, Shkita Shein Ru'uya, Shema Shkita, Shkita that doesn't permit something to be eaten, is also called Shechita. So what's the logic of Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon will tell you, the verse says, Asher Yeachel, right? V'ish ish mibnei Yisrael min agar agar besocham, Asher yatsud seid chayav, somebody traps a deer, or oaf, or a bird, Asher Yeachel, that is eaten. And then v'shavach es damo, and then he spills his blood, he has to cover it. So it says, Asher Yeachel ksip, has to be something that is eaten, has to be a Shechita ru'uya, a Shechita that makes it permitted to be eaten. Rabbi Meir will tell you, no, that's just to say that a non-kosher bird, if it gets slaughtered, you don't have to cover that blood. And Rabbi Shimon, he'll tell you like this, what's the reason why if a non-kosher bird is slaughtered, you don't have to cover the blood? The lav barachilahu, because it's not something you're supposed to eat. Trefa nami, a trefa also. Lav barachilahu, it's something you're not supposed to eat, and therefore, there'd be no law of kisi adam. V'ayin adam rabchia. So that's why rabchia says in regards to this discussion, Ra Rabbi Dvar of Rabbi Shimon, the Kisi Adam. Rabbi thought that the logic of Rabbi Shimon is very compelling in Kisi Adam. It's the pasuk Lo Yechel, won't be eaten. And that's why he said Ishno Belashon Chacham. That's what he says in regards to Kisi Adam. That the majority view is that a Shechita Shein Ruya doesn't need Kisui Adam, doesn't need a covering of the blood. All right, we're at the very bottom now. The last three words of Pei Hei Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said, Rabbi Meir doesn't say in regards to all halachos that a shechita that doesn't permit something to be eaten is still called shechita. Rabbi Meir agrees that a shechita sheina ru'uya doesn't make it permitted to be eaten. You can't eat the food. Exactly, it's obvious. Gemara's going to ask that question. Not in regards to all matters, did Rabbi Shimon say that shechita sheina ru'uya lashma shechita, that a shechita that doesn't permit something to be eaten is not called shechita. Because Modi Rabbi Shimon agrees, Rabbi Shimon agrees that a shechita, Sheina Ru'uya, would permit it from the Tumah of Nevela. Okay, so now let's discuss what Rabbi Abba just said. So again, Amar, we just said, our master just taught us, Lola Kolam Rabbi Meir Shechita Sheina Ru'uya Shema Shechita. Not in all regards did Rabbi Meir say that a Shechita that's not good is a Shechita. Most Rabbi Meir say that Tiras Ba'achila. Rabbi Meir agrees that a Shechita that's no good, let's say a Shechita on a Treifa, a Shechita of Kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash, a Shechita of Chulin in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to eat the meat. So, as Gabriel says, Pshit, of course! This is obvious! Treifa b'shechita mi'mishtarya. You have an animal that has a hole in the stomach. It's a treifa. Because there was a shechita, anyone's going to think, can you eat it now? Of course you can't eat it. It's a treifa. So Gemara says, Lo Tzvicha. Oh, it's Rav Abba's point is for the following. The Shochet is a Treifa. Even according to Rabbi Meir, the Shechita Sheina Ru'uya is called a Shechita. But if somebody would Shech the Treifa, Umatzaba Ben Teschai. Inside of this treifa, he finds a fully formed 9-month-old fetus that's heart is pumping and it's breathing and it's moving. It's live. So now we should say ben pekua. The shechita of the mother works for it. Right. Oh, so I would have thought to say, since Rabbi Meir says it is shechita that doesn't permit, it's still called a shechita. So therefore, the mother had a shechita. Just didn't permit it, but it had a shechita. So to any le shechita simo. So let the shechita of the mother work for this fetus. Veloli by shechita. It wouldn't need its own shechita. So that's what Kamashmalan. Rabbi Meir doesn't always say shechita sheinu ruya is called a shechita. For ben pekua, it wouldn't be considered a shechita, and therefore the child's going to need its own shechita. That's what we're saying.
But not the same day.
Correct. Couldn't be on the same day. Correct.
This is even with this fetus. It's not crowning or anything like that. It's inside.
Nothing came out.
Yeah, it didn't come out yet. But now it's alive. So where's the Tisbra? Are you going to even think this? That according to Rabbi Meir, the shechita of the mother should have worked for such a fetus? But Rabbi Meir says always with fetuses. Ben pekua ton shechita. Rabbi Meir says with all fetuses. Found inside of the slaughtered animal, you need a shechta fetus. So then, I don't need this to tell me here. I don't need Rabbi Abba to tell me that here you need a shechta fetus, because the mother's shechita was a shechita sheina ru'uya, and even according to Rabbi Meir, shechita sheina ru'uya is still something problematic. What do you mean? He always holds that the fetus has to be shechted. He never agrees with the idea of ben pekua. All right, you're right. That's right. It's for something else. Lo tzricha. The point is, Rabbi Abba's point is like this. The Rebbe Savar Lakrabi Meir, the Savar Lakrabana. Rebbe, he holds like Rabbi Meir, and he holds like the Rabbana. In other words, Savar Lakrabi Meir, Dharma Shkita Shein Ruya Shma Shkita. Rebbe holds that a Shkita Shein Ruya is called Shkita. That's why, in regards to Osav Espino, right, that's why he said, called that the view of the Chachamim. In regards to Ben Pekua, in regards to the child found inside, Sevela Karabanan Zami, he holds like Rabbanan who say that normally, with a child found inside, Shechitas Imu Metara, so the Shechita of the mother was enough, he doesn't need his own Shechita. So that's what he's saying like this. Kevodom Rabbanan Shechitas Imu Metara, so since normally the Shechita of the mother would work for the Ben Pekua, so now that I hold the Shechita Shein Ruya is also a Shechita. So Tehani le shechita simo. So maybe the shechita of the mother being a treifa should work for the child. The lowly boy is shechita, and this child shouldn't need shechita. That's why Kamashma, that's where Baba was teaching that no, that the child does need shechita. And even when Rebbe is saying he agrees with Rebbe Meir, that shechita shein ruya is a shechita, it's not always a shechita. It's a shechita for osov espino. Maybe it's a shechita for kisu yadzam, but it's not a shechita for a ben pekua.
Rabbi, shouldn't it be asur to do shech on a pregnant?
Why?
Because, you know, there's a baby there, you know, they have to be.
Pita.
You know, have compassion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Brahmanas, you know, baby.
Apparently not.
The mother's milk, you know.
Apparently not. You know, it's a hard. You know, you're raising an important point. You know, we want to have Brahmanas on the animals, but yet we're allowed to. To kill animals.
I don't know.
Maybe when Mashiach will come, it'll be a sur to shecht the animals in Torah. We'll go back to the times of Gan Eden, and we've become vegetarian, right? The way it was before the flood, we'll become vegetarian again. Well, that we saw in the Holocaust. The Germans were very nice to their dogs, but they weren't nice to the Jews. That's true, yeah. Rav Kook says because after the sin of Adam Arishon, man has limited quantities of compassion. So if he puts that compassion on the animals, he's not going to have the compassion on people. Okay. When Mashiach will come, we'll have unlimited compassion. Then we'll be able to have the compassion on all. All right, going back to what Rabbi Abba said. Right? Rabbi Abba says, even though Rabbi Meir holds Shechita Sheinu Ruya is a Shechita, it's not always the case. We went back and forth what that means. Now we understand what that means. It means it's not the case for Ben Pekua. Okay. Then Rabbi Abba said, "V'lola kolam Rabbi Shimon shchita shein ruuya lo shma shchita." Not in regards to all halachos, Rabbi Shimon say that a shchita which doesn't work to permit is not a shchita. Well, Rabbi Shimon says it is a shchita for something. It is a shchita that mitzaras amidei nevela. It is a shchita that takes the treifa away from being a nevela. Pshita, of course, that it doesn't have tumas nevela if it's shechted. That's obvious. Some Rav Yudah Marav. Rav Yudah said the name of Rav. Amilam b'mastisa tana. Some say it was in a brisa. The pasuk says v'chi amus min abeimah asher hid lachem la'achla nogeh b'niv l'asa yitma ad ha'arev. If it'll die from the animals. Since it says from the animals, that's what becomes a nevela. That means mixas beimah mitzama. Only some of the animals can become nevela. Mixas beimah ain't a mitzama. Some animals, though, cannot become nevela. Ezo, what are the animals that don't become nevela, don't create tumah? Zo, treifa sheshachta, a treifa that's slaughtered. I don't need Rav Abba for that. My answer is Lutzricha. You know what I needed Rav Abba for? You're right. L'shochides ha-treifa v'hichulin ba'azara. Someone who shechts an animal that's a treifa. So normally that just takes away Tumas Nevela. But you know where he did it? He did it in the Beis HaMikdash and the animal was not a karban. So now it's not the right thing. You're not supposed to be doing. There are two reasons why it's not a good shechita. It's not a good shechita to permit it to be eaten because it's a treifa. It's not a good shechita to permit it to be eaten because it's chulin in the Beis HaMikdash. The time when the Braisa shochet is a treifa, if somebody shechts a treifa, v'chein ha-shochet v'nimtzeis treifa, he shechts an animal, then he finds it, it's a treifa. Let's say he finds a stomach in a hole in the intestines. So zev and zev, both cases, if he's shechting it chulin ba'azara when they are not holy in the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Shimon matir ba'ana. Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed to get benefit.
But Rabbi, doesn't it make the ground of Beit HaMikdash tameh? You know.
No. Can't make ground tameh.
No.
No. So Rabbi Shimon says you can get ana. Why? Because he says this is not called a shechita at all. It's not called a shechita, so it's not shechita schulin ba'azara. The Chacham osrin, and the Chacham say no, you can't. You're not allowed to get benefit from it because it was a shechita ba'azara. It was a shechita. So Sakadai Tachamina would have thought to say, "Hold on, Rabbi Shimon. Since Rabbi Shimon's matir bana, I'm allowed shchita iklal." Rabbi Shimon holds it's not a shchita. It's not a shchita. That's why he says you can get benefit from it. It wasn't, didn't become prohibited. It doesn't become yisuri ana as chulin ba'azara because this is not a shchita because it was a treifa. So ema midei nevela nami lo mitzara. So then maybe if it's not a shchita at all, it's not called you shechted chulin ba'azara. It's called that you just killed something in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why it's not aser ba'ana. That's why it doesn't have the prohibition of getting benefit from it. So maybe it should be nevela. It should be tamei b'tumas nevela with the impurity of nevela. Kamashma, that's what we need Rav Abba. Rav Abba said, no. Since at the end of the day it was an act of slaughter, even though it doesn't halachically have the status of slaughter, an act of slaughter is enough to remove the impurity of nevela. Okay. Amalei Rav Papa l'Abaye, now starting a new topic. Rav Papa said to Abaye, V'savar Rav Shimon, does Rav Shimon hold chulin ba'azara d'oraisi? Does Rav Shimon hold that the prohibition of slaughtering a non-holy item in the Beis HaMikdash is a biblical prohibition? Amalei Abaye said back to Rav Papa, in he holds it is a biblical prohibition. But not as we learned in a Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, chulin shenishchatu ba'azara, if you take a non-holy item and you slaughter them in the Beis HaMikdash, Yisrafu ba'esh, you have to burn them. V'chein chayah shenishchata ba'azara, and if you have a wild animal that you slaughter in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to burn it. Now, i'amit bishlama d'orais, if you say it's a biblical prohibition, ha'inad d'gazrina, and that's what you say, you can't get any benefit, you have to burn it. Chayah atu behema, just like a behema of chulin, it's slaughtered in the azara, you can't get benefit. So to a chayah, slaughtered in the azara, you can't get benefit, you need to burn. But if you're going to say that the whole concept of chulin slaughtered in the azara is only a rabbinic prohibition, behema my time, why would you say that you have to burn a behema that was slaughtered in the azara if it was chulin? Because if we're going to allow you to eat this behema outside, then next time somebody's going to take a carbon that was slaughtered in the azara and he'll eat that in the wrong place, he'll eat it outside. Okay, but that only apply to a behema. So he gufa gzeira. So behema, fine, you can make a gzeira that it's aser bahana. But that wouldn't apply to a chaya. If a chaya is slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, no one's going to think you can now eat, and you could then eat it outside. No one's going to think you could eat karbanos outside. So you can say, nope, we have to burn the chaya because we burn the behema. Understand? We're going to get up and make a decree because of a decree on top of a decree that we don't do. So therefore, you see the fact that he says that even a chaya slaughtered in the Azara has to be burned is a proof that he holds that there's a biblical prohibition of getting any benefit from anything chulin that was slaughtered in the Azara, in the Beis Hamikdash.
But that's true for the domesticated animal, but that is kosher.
If it's a carbon. A domesticated animal that's a carbon can be slaughtered in the Beis Hamikdash. If it's not a carbon, you cannot slaughter it in the Beis Hamikdash.